Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 65, Text 17. This is about Jadayasi Balaram Rasiyacha, as well as Krishna's Vashantaras and appearance of Shamananda Prabhu and Bhangsi Badana. Vaumasuta Chavatsim Madhum Madhavamevacha Rama Shapashu Bhagavan Kopinam Ratimavahan. Dwau. Two. Mansau. Mans. Tatra. There in Gokul. Cha. And. Avasit. Resided. Madhum. Madhu. The first month of the Vedic calendar. At the time of the spring equinox. Madhava. Sorry. Madhavan. Madhavam. Madhava. The second month. Eva. Indeed. Cha. Also. Ramaha. Balaram. Shapashu. During the nights. Bhagavan. The Supreme Lord. Gopinam. To the gopis. Ratim. Conjugal pleasure. Avahan. Bringing. Translation: Lord Balaram, the personality of Godhead, resided there for the 2 months of Madhu and Madhava, and during the nights he gave his cowherd girlfriends conjugal pleasure. Please repeat. Lord Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, resided there for 2 months of Madhu and Madhava, and during the nights he gave his cowherd girlfriends conjugal pleasure. Srila Sridhar Swami states that the gopis who enjoyed conjugal affairs with Sri Balaram during his visit to Gokul had not taken part in Sri Krishna's rasa dance, being too young at the time. Srila Jiva Goswami confirms his statement by quoting a phrase from the Bhagavatam, 10.15.8, Gopya Natrena Bhujayo, which indicates that there are particular gopis who act as Lord Balaram's girlfriends. Furthermore, Jiva Goswami states that during the holy festival celebrated when Krishna killed Sankachuda, the gopis Lord Balaram enjoyed with were different from the ones Lord Krishna enjoyed with. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti agrees with this explanation. So the Lord Balaram, this title is in chapter is entitled Lord Balaram Visits Vrindavan. As you know, when Krishna and Balaram left Vrindavan, they hadn't gone back for quite some time. So Balaram desired to go. Somehow or other, Krishna couldn't go. And so Balaram went to Vrindavan with some messages from Lord Krishna and consoled the grief-stricken Vrijavasis and promised them that Krishna will come soon. And so this way they became very cheerful once again. And he stayed there for 2 months of this springtime. So it's a very nice atmosphere. And then he enjoyed his conjugal affairs with his girlfriends. It says the girls were they're actually too young to go with Krishna while Krishna was in Vrindavan, because this was some years later, I would imagine, some years. So Balaram enjoyed with these. So they both have their sets of girlfriends. They don't change. It's mentioned here. They weren't Krishna's. They weren't the gopis that danced with Krishna. So the 2 months there, then he was bringing everyone great pleasure, relieving their distress. Maybe we can just read this, how he enjoyed his conjugal pastimes in Vrindavan. In the company of numerous women, Lord Balaram enjoyed in a garden by the Jamuna River. The garden was bathed in the rays of the full moon and caressed by breezes bearing the fragrance of night blooming lotuses. Like last night with nice breezes and a nice full moon. Tonight it will be more full. We didn't get the breezes of the lotuses, but sent by the demigod Varuna, the divine Varuni liquor flowed from a tree hollow and made the entire forest even more fragrant with its sweet aroma. This Varuni is a beverage that comes from a sap of a tree. But it's sometimes it says one shouldn't offer the deity sap from a tree. But it's not, Prabhupada said, it's not actually a liquor. It's not actually like we know alcohol or intoxicant like that. It's very rejuvenating. So it really makes the senses pick up and really on top, and you just feel great. It's not it's different from alcohol when you kind of forget your body kind of thing. This just rejuvenates all of the senses. All of the senses become very enlivened. The wind carried to Balaram the fragrance of that flood of sweet liquor, and when he smelled it, he went to the tree there. He and his female companions drank. As again Gandharva sang his glories, Lord Balaram enjoyed within the brilliant circle of young women. He appeared just like Indra's elephant, the lordly Aravata, enjoying in the company of she elephants. So here it is the springtime, nice breezes, fantastic atmosphere. They're on the banks of the Jamuna, the waters are sparkling on the soft sands there. Then the fragrance of the lotuses that are blooming at night. Everything is perfect. This is how the Supreme Lord deals. So Krishna's pastimes here in the material world is Prakat Lila. He manifests to give an indication of what it's like in the spiritual world, so we can be attracted and go back to the spiritual world. Of course, that is this, when he's here, it actually is the spiritual world. But it's manifest. Actually, the pastimes are always going on in Vrindavan, like in Mayapur also. But mostly they're not visible, only to the pure unalloyed devotees. Those great devotees who are able to actually envisage those, the apricot leela, or the eternal leela. But out of causeless mercy, Krishna sometimes makes those pastimes visible to everyone for a short period of time. There's no difference in the prakat and apricot leela. Pastimes are going on eternally. Sometimes everyone can see them, and sometimes only the few devotees can see them. So if you're around 5,000 years ago, and you had a lot of sukriti, you could have taken birth and experienced, the Lord when he appears. We have to have some. Anyone who's born at that time is obviously not an ordinary person to get that opportunity, because though the Lord avatars are always coming, it's actually quite a long time. 5,000 years ago, 500 years ago, I think it was 5,000 years in between, and that's relatively short, at least for the main incarnations. So then this fantastic smell comes over. Everyone gets enlivened. What is that? And so they all led towards that like the bees. And there they, from the hollow of the tree, Varuni is there, and then they drink. Somehow or other, they will have some night, the gopis will make some probably nice cups from different leaves and drink, because they're expert in the 64 arts. These ladies are highly qualified. to take birth in Vrindavan as a gopi, you've got to, it means perfection. If you perfect your life in this lifetime, you come to perfection by sadhana bhakti, you'll get the opportunity to take birth in Vrindavan. And then Prabhupada said, then the training still goes on, but they learned those 64 arts, like Krishna and Balaram, they learned the 64 arts. And that's all the Vrindavan pastimes are, is different exhibitions of the 64 arts. 64 arts, like, you know what they are. how to dress really nicely, how to dance in different wonderful ways, and how to make, you know, different flower arrangements, different flower ornaments. They know the art of the different rhythms, different ragas. They know all these things, how to speak messages, secret messages in between words, hidden words, how to charm the snakes, how to conquer your foes, how to, you know, they know everything they know. It's 60, you've got to be qualified to enter into God's entourage. So they're perfect people. So when they have these meetings at night, it's very wonderful. It's not a mundane thing. That we have a mundane, we in Kali Yuga, passion and ignorance, any festival, any occasion, any time for enjoyment, there'll be men and women and dancing and music and something to help you along, right? Generally. So it's an imitation, you see, that everyone, it's a desire is natural for all these things because it's there in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not unnatural. But here it's very gross. There it's very refined. They have these like dancing competitions, and they really excel. They really dance in movements that bewilder the mind. And then all the others will clap, very good, very good. And sing in such meters that you've never heard before. That very, you know, everything is first class, very tasteful, excellent. Because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His business is enjoying. So everyone is really expert at everything they do. I probably said that every step is a dance, every word is a song. So it's a very wonderful place. This is what we have. We should develop a hankering to actually go to that place instead of trying to enjoy this, trying to make that place here in this cheap imitation world. So at that time, kettle drums resounded in the sky. The Gandharvas joyfully rained down flowers, and the great sages praised Lord Balaram's heroic deeds. The orchestra is there, the Gandharvas are there, they're the best dancers, right? You don't get better than the Gandharvas. There's beautiful apsaras and their companions who dance very wonderfully and play music very wonderfully according to the Sangha Veda. So they're like a chorus background and just to assist in the pleasure. And the sages are glorifying. As his deeds were sung, Lord Halayudha wandered as if inebriated amongst the various forests with his girlfriends. His eyes rolled from the effect of liquor. Intoxicated with joy, happiness, Lord Balaram sported flower garlands, including the famous Vijayanti. He wore a single earring, and beads of perspiration decorated his smiling lotus face like snowflakes. The Lord then summoned the Yamuna River so that he could play in her waters. But she disregarded his command, thinking that he was drunk. This angered Balaram, and he began dragging the river with the tip of his plow. Whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants happens. There's no hindrance. But here, for the sake of enhancing the pastimes, she's not coming. So now his eyes become more red. Lord Balaram said, "O sinful one, disrespecting me, you do not come when I call you, but rather move only by your own whim. Therefore, with the tip of my plow, I shall now bring you here in 100 streams." Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus scolded by the Lord, O King. The frightened river goddess Jamuna came and fell at the feet of Lord Sri Balaram, the beloved descendant of Yadu. Trembling, she spoke to him the following words. Goddess Jamuna said, Rama, Rama, O mighty armed one, I know nothing of your prowess. With a single portion of yourself, you hold up the earth, O Lord of the universe. He's expanded as Anantashesh. My Lord, please release me, O soul of the universe. I didn't understand your position as the Supreme Godhead, but now I have surrendered unto you, and you are always kind to your devotees. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Thereupon Lord Balaram released Jamuna, and like the king of the elephants, with his entourage of she-elephants, entered the river's water with his female companions. Just like when Balaram went to Hastinapur, wasn't it? To make a peace treaty. They ridiculed him. They Duryodhana and company just made a joke of him. He became very angry. And they was, because he came as a peace messenger, and they was insulting him and Krishna, the Yadu dynasty. So with his plow, he started to drag the whole city. The whole city started to tremble. Then they realized, oh. Then they come and beg forgiveness. Said, actually, we knew you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We just wondered what you would do. We just wanted to see something wonderful, exhibition. But that's how powerful he is. Whatever he wants to do, nothing can impede with his desires. So then the Lord played in the water to his full satisfaction. And when he came out, the goddess Kanti presented him with blue garments, precious ornaments, and a brilliant necklace. Lord Balaram dressed himself in the blue garments and put on the gold necklace. Anointed with fragrance and beautifully adorned, he appeared as resplendent as Indra's royal elephant. Then it's not a compliment to call someone an elephant, is it? Balaram and Krishna also, they walk with the gait of an elephant, sometimes a young elephant or intoxicated elephant, sometimes a lion. Even today, O King, one can see how the Jamuna flows through the many channels created when it was dragged by the unlimitedly powerful Lord Balaram. Thus, she demonstrates his prowess. Where is that? Down is near Vansi. You can see if you go on the, I think near Madan Mohan, if you look down, you can see like channels near the Jamuna. Where they say that's the actual remnants where Balaram scratched her. He threatened to make so many little rivulets that she'll just disappear and dry up. And so she became very fearful. Thus for Lord Balaram, that all the nights passed like a single night, and he enjoyed in Vraja, his mind enchanted by the exquisite charm and beauty of Vraja's young ladies. Sri Balaram Asyata Ki. So that's how God enjoys in the evening. These lessons were given from the scripture and from the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that the pastimes are so wonderful, so enchanting. They're everything that we ever wanted and more. The problem is in the material world we have an envious mentality. We want to put ourselves in Krishna's spot. But that's but you can't do that. He is the supreme enjoyer. If we have that desire, then the material world is for us. That's why we're here, because we had that desire to take place of the Lord. And here, we think that if being the center is actually the best position to be, and everyone is striving for that, to be the center of attention, because of the prestige and the pleasure and the whole ego thing that it comes with it. To be adored, to be worshipped. But you see, it's not actually like that. It's not that competition is not in the spiritual world. Actually, everyone's trying to assist the Krishna for his enjoyment. Because you can't actually improve on these pastimes of Krishna and Balaram, although they're always self-improving. But you can't actually find a situation which is more pleasing than Krishna's pastime. So you can be part of that pastime. You can be part of the most superb pastimes in ever imaginable, especially for us. We can only have a hint of the, and the scriptures can only give a hint of his actual, that's all we can do, imagine. But when you're there, you're actually experiencing. It's not imagination anymore. So whatever fantastic scenario or atmosphere we could imagine, it's nothing like that. It's hundreds of times better than that, millions of times better than that. So you have the opportunity to take part in that wonderful festival of love, love in exchange. Otherwise, if you want to do it yourself, then there's a material world. Flap around for a few years in some smelly body and then horrible. It's a joke. But we can actually join those pastimes if we give up that crooked mentality of wanting to take his position. So that's why the pastime, that's why the explanations are here. Simply to attract us and give us the opportunity. It's available for everyone. Otherwise, why is Krishna coming doing it here? Why is he performing these pastimes here? Because I come for my devotees. On the call of my devotees. Demons, and time takes care of. Just going through one body after another after another. That's all taken care of by the material energy. But he comes for specifically for his devotees. And of course everyone's Krishna's devotee. In the material world everyone is bewildered. So he's given that opportunity to, and a glimpse of the spiritual atmosphere. This is your real existence. So why didn't you come there and enjoy? And don't think because you're a supporter you don't enjoy as much. You actually they enjoy more than Krishna. They get more pleasure than Krishna. Inconceivably. There's a nice description of he says Krishna is like a tamal tree, and Radha is like a creeper who winds around that tamal tree. Krishna Shaktiman. So much ava she's feeling, so much emotion she's feeling, because she's only a thin vine and Krishna's a tree. So when she's in contact with that whole tree, it becomes almost impossible for her to contain those feelings of ecstasy, and in different ways, in different forms that the ecstasy comes. It's almost impossible for her to contain. That's what we call Radha Bhav. Mahabhav. That it's so intense, the feelings are so wonderful, that you can't even contain it. You don't have the capacity to actually behold it fully. It's too overwhelming. So she feels 10,000 times more pleasure than Krishna. Because she's a great little vine. And there's a tree coming. If you put a little wire on a high voltage thing, what'll happen? If you put a little fuse wire, it'll just melt. You put it on one of those huge high power cables, can't take that. And the evidence is, the proof is that Lord Krishna comes to Caitanya Mahaprabhu to experience that. He just can't understand the love that his devotees feel for him. He can't understand his own potency, his own beauty. He can't understand it. So therefore he takes the form of Gauranga, so he can experience in the form of a devotee what his actual association is like. So he says then, so she feels 10,000 times more pleasure than Krishna. So then the gopis, they're like the leaves, the twigs on that vine. So the vine is like that, but the twig is very thin. So the, when Radharani feels that, because of the so close to Radharani, they even feel what she feels, some of them. So then they feel what she is experiencing, but they're only little twigs on that vine, on the big creeper. So then they become mesmerized. So they feel 10,000 times more than her. Then others are mandrajas, then there's the leaves. So it says das, das, das and das, that the servants of the servants, they actually enjoy more than the... So you see the difference is it's diametrically opposed to what our consciousness in the material world. We want to get up front, right? We want to get close for the real thing, for the... But there, it's not like that. So everyone enjoys unlimitedly. And although those in Vatsala and Shakya, they won't be able to attend this thing, this leader. Of course, some of the Gandhavas are there from a distance. But some of the more intimate pastimes, then they won't be able to attend. But still, they hear about them, and there's nothing lacking. They're fully satisfied in their own particular relationship. That there's no hankering like that. And their only business is to assist Krishna in his pleasure. What is Krishna like? Who does Krishna like? So Krishna, you know who Krishna likes, right? He likes Radha, Lalita, Vishakha, Arjun, Shrubal, Sridham, Mother Yasoda, Nanda Baba. So they're the ones that... Why does Krishna like to be with those people especially? Because, obviously, they know how to deal with him better. They know how to extract the different moods or the rasas that's contained within him. They're expert. They're perfect. So Krishna likes to be around them. So they're already there. So if we want Krishna's pleasure, then we'll try and get these people with Krishna. This is what we want. Because that's going to give Krishna maximum pleasure. If he comes with me, I won't be able to give him the pleasure that they can give him. So therefore, I don't specifically want that. I want Krishna's pleasure, more pleasure. So therefore, bring him to... So that all of these different relationships, they're all supporting this Madhuri Ras, anyway, which is considered the sweetest, most intimate. There, without the others, then these things can't... The Madhura Ras can't exist on its own. It has to have the support of these other rasas, because that enhances it and helps to make it more tasty. So they're all necessary there, and everyone feels perfectly complete. Nobody would like to change their position. Why should they? Perfectly, completely satisfied. Completely satisfied. So there's no enviousness or competition like that. There's competition who can please Krishna maybe, but there's no competition or jealousy or in that sense. Because everyone's completely satisfied. You've got your relationship with Krishna. even you may understand that you will understand that some people give Krishna better pleasure than you do, obviously. But like I said, then your mentality was how to get them to assist them in that way. So there's absolutely no jealousy, envy or competition. If any envy comes, if anything creeps in, then there's a material world, is it? Then that's rasabhas. Then you can't stay in the material world. Pop! Go to the material world until we get over this enviousness. So that's what we're doing now. We're trying to overcome this enviousness of Krishna, trying to put ourselves in Krishna's place, trying to put ourselves as the center, the enjoyer. That is a problem we have. We all have that same problem here. So we've got to get over that. So if we hear about here, there's no fear of going to the spiritual world because everyone is enjoying supremely. Everyone's enjoying supremely. Nobody thinks... Everyone loves Krishna 100%. Everyone's heart is full of love for Krishna. So why would you want to change that? You wouldn't want to be somebody else or offer a different kind of service. Your heart is full of love for Krishna. There's nothing more that you want. However you serve him, that's why we say devotional service is absolute. Doesn't matter what particular service you do, it's all absolute. So they don't distinguish, there's no high and low in devotees or devotional service. As long as they're of the same consciousness, everyone's serving Krishna. I'm serving Krishna like that, he's serving Krishna like that, she's serving Krishna like this, that's all. We're all serving Krishna. And that's the actual constitution. We're meant to be serving Krishna. So as long as that's there, then what does it matter who you are or what you are? You wouldn't change. Today is the appearance of Shyamananda Prabhu, who was a great devotee of Nitai Gaur. From a child he heard about them and he was always talking about them. Whenever any travelers come, he would ask about them, and his eyes would always be filled with tears listening to their stories, and he would tell all the stories. So he'd preach in the glories of Nitai Gaur. His parents were pure devotees also. And they said, you should take your spiritual master so you can engage, you know, fully in your sadhana and worship, etc. So he desired to take initiation from Hiridoi Chaitanya. Actually, Shyamananda's name was, his parents called him Dukhi, unhappy, to protect him, because all of their other children were stillborn. So they never had any children. So when he was born, they called him Dukhi for some kind of protection. Unhappy. Then Hiridoinanda gave him the name Krishnadas, and he finally called this. And then he sent him to Vrindavan for absorbing more bhajan, and he placed him under the care of Jiva Goswami. So they didn't want to go, he didn't want to leave his guru, but he went there. He travelled a lot, and he served with under Jiva Goswami with Narottam, etc. Jiva gave him the name, because when he heard how enthusiastic he was, his guru heard how enthusiastic he was, then he told Jiva Goswami, he said, consider yourself an extension of me. In other words, he's your disciple. You can treat him like that. And Jiva gave him a name, Shyamananda. One that gives pleasure to Sham, who is very enthusiastic. And there's different stories, but he was cleaning the paths of Vrindavan. He used to sweep them, or the Rasa Mandala. Anyway, he used to clean up, sweep, and he found an ankle bell, Nupa, which is actually Radharani's. He very transcendentally touched it. And the different stories, anyway, but apparently Lalita and Vishaka came and said, give us that, we lost an ankle bell here, that's our mistress. And he said, no, I'll only give it to the one it belongs to. So then apparently they took him to Radharani and they manifest before him. Apparently then she put the ankle bell on his forehead, like that. So that's why they wear the tilak like this, the Shyamanandas. So by the association of Srila Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, then he became very attracted to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And then, Hiridoinanda, his guru, found out, because he's changed his name, he's changed his tilak, he's changed his bhava, because he's in Shakya Bhava, this Hiridoinanda. You know the story of Hiridoinanda was initiated by Gauridas Pandit, who was actually Shubal. He's one of the Dwadasa Gopalas. And so he was worshipping Krishna in the mood of Shakya. So then he became very disturbed. What's going on out there in Vrindavan? That he's changed his... He's changed his name, he's changed his tilak, he's changed his bhava. And The one story is that then when he actually met him, he got really angry and he started beating him with a stick. But he told him, and this happened in a dream that Radharani came, and he couldn't really believe him. But then afterwards, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in a dream of Hiranananda with all beat marks on his body. He said, "Why are you beating me like this?" He said, "In the dream." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "You know that Shyamananda's body is not different from my body." So then he appreciated it. So then he gave him his blessings. So you see, it can't, your relationship with Krishna can change. Huh? As in this case. But generally, why should it? That's why his guru became very angry. Why should it change? What could be better than worshipping Krishna as a cowherd boy? Couldn't imagine, there's nothing better than this. He'd only be a dopey gopi. Nothing better than this. So that's the mood. Therefore, he was upset that, you know, how can you, what are you doing? You know? There's nothing better than this. So that's how they feel. They don't. There's no reason to change or desire to change, because your relationship is so complete, so perfect, that everyone has everyone has a particular place, everyone has a particular service, and their group. And you have, there'll be people, you'll be in one group of persons, and you have a group leader. And because there's hundreds and thousands of devotees, everyone has a leader, and generally everyone has someone under them also to lead. Parampara. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specifically teaching this conjugal mood as super excellent, as a mood of, but any mood in Vrindavan, as long as you get to Vrindavan, that's the supreme perfection. Whoever you are in Vrindavan, there's also bugs there, right? We were talking, Vijayananda was telling us the other day, there's even bugs, there's worms in Vrindavan. They wouldn't want to be a cow or a gopi, probably. They're quite satisfied in that position, somehow or other. Their relationship with Krishna is complete. They're fully conscious. So nothing is insignificant there. Nothing is great and nothing is insignificant there. Everything is fully conscious. Satchit Ananda. Everything is of the same principle there. So there's no high or low. So I was a little bit surprised to hear that you'd be a worm in Vrindavan. But don't think they're any less than the other inhabitants there. That's just our conception we got. A lowly mosquito or insect. They have a part to play. Otherwise, why are they there? They have a part to play in Krishna's pleasure, somehow or other. And Krishna respects that. He says that in Goloka, Krishna, somehow or other, he sees everyone every day, they have an exchange with him. Even though billions and billions of devotees there. So it's surprising that I don't know who'd want to be an insect. But then it says that the Lord appears in every species. He incarnates in every species. So it means every species means every species. So he's also incarnated as a whatever species there is. And those other species are beyond me. But obviously everything is there. And so they have a part to play. They get to see Krishna's pastimes, and be a part of that. So that's perfection. So that's what we want to, you know, get over this conception of us being special or a position being special. Special means devotee of Krishna. That is special. If you recognize you're a servant of Krishna, a devotee. A devotee means love. A devotee means affection. A servant of Krishna. with affection, because you're serving him for his pleasure. You're serving him because you'd like to, because it actually gives you pleasure. Huh? This we don't experience much in the material world. To be a servant is not very nice word in the material world. Everyone wants to be the master. There is different. Servant. Servant of the servant of the servant. You want to be, you're getting more pleasure being a servant. You get so much pleasure serving. Difficult to understand spiritual life from this material perspective. But the examples we gave of the electricity shows that as much as you can experience, that whoever you are, there's nobody is insignificant. And there's no dissatisfaction, there's no need to move on. Everyone is perfect. Even though from our concept we'll say, I want to be that, I don't want to be that. But why should that concept be there? It's not there. It's only here, you see. It's only because we think we're special. You're actually special when you establish a relationship with Krishna, then you're special. So as long as you're serving Krishna, then that's your perfection. Right? Even in this body, you can experience that. You become Atmarama, right? You become perfect in this life. Free from the modes of nature, you become self-satisfied. Self-realized, self-satisfied. You don't need to do anything anymore. You don't need to prove anything anymore. You've been everywhere, done everything, seen everyone, kind of thing. You're self-satisfied. There's nothing more to attain. So there's... Even in this life you can experience that, even in this body. So that's there, plus. You know, that's the platform of Shanti, or liberation, mukti. And then, that is a preliminary requisite, that we liberate you from the material energy. Then your actual service can start to... Then you can start to experience a variegatedness, and spiritual variegatedness. And not just the Shanti, just the freedom of the modes of nature and the peace, and you start to experience spiritual variegatedness from that point. So we should contemplate these things to correct our own consciousness and keep ourselves in line with the devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord. And that is our qualification. Thinking, feeling and willing. First we think about it, then we get a feeling for it, then you start to will it to happen. I want to be a devotee. I want to be a servant of Krishna. I want to develop affection for Krishna. And then that endeavoring now through the process of sadhana bhakti to achieve that goal. But we should know what the goal is. And if that's our goal, then it'd be easier to say no to mine also. Because these things will slow us down, and then so we can perfect our lives like some of the gopis who couldn't attend the first rasa with Krishna. They perfected their lives by sadhana bhakti. They got the opportunity to take birth in Braj, then they did a little more training, and then they got to actually attend this maharas. So that's our birthright also. That's what Srila Prabhupada says we can do. Perfect our life by the sadhana siddhi or kripa siddhi, by the mercy of the pure devotees. And then you can also take part in this spiritual atmosphere. This is a reality that we want to actually achieve. Sri Balaram Rasyata ki jai, Shavananda Prabhu ki jai, Bhansi Varana ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Taigo Bhaktavinda ki jai, Gopravanandi Hari Hari O. We mentioned Shamananda had the same relationship with Krishna as his spiritual master. Sorry? Do we have the same relationship with Krishna as our spiritual master? Probably. Probably. At least your eternal spiritual master, the one that takes you back to Godhead, that one, you'll be in his group. Jamuna Devi married Krishna, yes. It's the then why did she dance with Balaram? Why did she didn't? What is the question? Did Jamuna marry Krishna after this Leela? No, I think it was before. The Acharyas are saying that is another personality. There's a purport. I didn't read the purport. It's not that same one. You can read it down here because of this fan, I guess. But we're saying the appearances today, Krishna Vashantaras, Balaram Vashantaras. and Krishna.
What is Janus? What is Krishna's one today?
Krishna's Vashantaras. Vashant means spring. Spring, hasn't it? Spring dance. He has one in the autumn, that Kartik time. Yeah, now it's spring.
Jai Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.